Welcome to another teaching from Spirit of God Ministries Worldwide. We pray that this blesses you greatly. Here is today's message in progress.
Oh, Lord, we are so hungry. I love swimming in the rivers of His goodness. I love worshiping Him because something happens when we worship. There's nothing else like Him, and there's nothing else like worshiping Him. It takes us out of ourself and our self-centeredness, and by an act of obedience and speaking the words, and then something happens where our heart comes in front of the words and it's no longer of the flesh. And I love when that happens. And unfortunately, it doesn't happen for everybody. But I feel like I'm supposed to share tonight. If your desire is to connect with the Father, you will find a connection. So don't beat yourself up if you're struggling with relationship in the spirit realm. Listen, I can't believe we're going here tonight, but we are. I love Him so much. See, some people don't like to talk about intimacy, and I wouldn't. And I don't, unless He tells me to. And I feel like tonight, He wants to be known in a way that's relational. Because although He's mysterious, those who seek Him will find Him when they seek Him with all their heart. And what I love about that scripture is, when I first came into His kingdom, when I was born again, I didn't have such a great heart. I just didn't want to go to hell. And so I was very self-centered and self-natured. But something happened. There's a desire that He put in all of us to know Him because we're created in His image. So even if we have stinky hearts, who didn't have a stinky heart when they first met Him? No, no, I'm the only one that stunk? Oh, okay. No. Oh, it's been washed. It's in the sea of forgetfulness, and you just can't remember anymore. No, that's Him who doesn't remember. I know my frame, and I remember where I came from. And let me just tell you, I am so grateful for the blood of Jesus and the sacrifice that God the Father sowed His Son to redeem me from the curse. There's no other system that can be built. He did it. He's the only one. There's no other sacrifice. You can do all kinds of weird stuff, Old Testament stuff. It's already been done. Everything's been provided through the Son. Now, the really cool thing is God loves you so much. He made you in His image, yet because of the fallen nature, He had to sow His Son to redeem us from the curse. So we've all been redeemed from the curse. But meanwhile, there's this disconnect because some of us did some stuff. And so we have memories and we have, you know, maybe open doors still, or maybe we grew in a family where it wasn't, a loving home. Maybe we lived on the streets. Maybe, you know, your parents did the best they could and somehow you lacked a little bit. Did you lack a little bit? I know I lacked a little bit because I came from a fallen world, but in the kingdom of God, there is no lack. So there's abundance, and the abundance is love. Now, people chase after the things of the Spirit. If you're going to chase after the love. Because the love will saturate you, overtake you, and clean you, and then position you in a place where no man can go with other people. The love of the Father, there's a connection. And I see this breakthrough, this season that we're in. There's never been a better time to know Jesus, but yet many people are like this. I don't know Him. I don't know how to find Him. But the really cool thing is, if you have a heart, do you have a heart? You're going to find Him. And see, you got a little bit of divided heart? Oh, nobody wants to admit that, do we? Are you chasing after some stuff of the world, but yet you still want God? Listen, there's seeds in you that He put in you. If you focus on Him, He will set you free. He always does. If you're struggling and stinky, hello, we all were and we all are. There isn't a day that goes by that there's not a little bit of struggle of the flesh. You're lying to me if you say that you have mastered your flesh. We master our flesh by the grace of God only. We can't manage. And somehow we got this weird system going on where we pretend and dress up and act like it's all okay. Listen, we're all a mess without Jesus. But there's this thing called the love of the Father, and I feel like we're going there tonight. Because a lot of people have been wounded. A lot of people have been bruised and hurt. And the whole plan was to keep you out of the love of the Father. But nothing, hello, resurrection power by Jesus Christ, that resurrection power lives in who? In you. So if you're struggling, listen, don't hang on to that struggle. Just focus on Jesus. That's it. The author, the finisher, he's the one. All you got to do is say, help me. Words are power. Words are currency. Do you need a little help tonight? Come on. Let's get real. What happened? What is going on? I'm feeling this religious spirit in here tonight. And we're going to have to do some slap-happy deliverance. Come on. Listen, you don't have to pretend. First of all, I'm a seer. I see. I see myself. I see us all. And we're kids in the kingdom. And some of us are trying to be a little proper. Listen, you need to get some finger paints out and some crayons and go outside of the lines. Because you know what? God has no boundaries. Man put boundaries on you and the enemy put restrictions on you. But in the kingdom of God, there is freedom. That's good news. Oh, wow. Life support. Angels help. I'm just doing what he's telling me to do. We're going to get there. We're going to go to Romans 12 first. Because he says so. It's not Romans. Here we go. You ready? Therefore, I urge you, brethren, family members, by the mercies of God, to present your bodies a living and holy sacrifice, acceptable to God, which is your spiritual service of worship. And do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, so that you may prove what the will of God is, that which is good and acceptable and perfect. I'm going to stop right there. Religion tells us to dress up, to act a certain way. Our parents tell us, dress up, act a certain way, hold the door. That's all good, but it's all flesh. Here's the answer. By the mercies of God, present your bodies a living and holy sacrifice, acceptable to God, which is your spiritual service of worship. Spiritual service of worship. There's a way to worship by the flesh. Hallelujah. We sing a song, three songs, sit, kneel, stand, jump, clap, whatever. Starts off by the flesh. But there's this tipping point in the spirit where it becomes a spiritual form of worship. When that happens, you're connected with the Father. Now, it's not like you've never not been connected, but there's it's like a highway. It's it's like a string. It's a cord, and it's him, and he and your heart and his heart pull. And there's this merging in the spirit where it's no longer I, but it's Christ who lives through me. And that's the goal. That's the home run. That's where the action is at. And so all this other stuff, this enemy, you know, don't do this. I'm thinking about the dishes. Oh, did I turn the coffee pot off? All that stuff is enemy thoughts. It's flesh thoughts. Oh, if I raise my hand, somebody might think I'm too religious or spiritual. Listen, enemy thought. There are no restrictions. There are no limitations in the body of Christ. Only by man. Hallelujah. Only by man. And here's the thing. That's busting up. Now, some of you are like, I'm a little uncomfortable. This is starting to bug me because I like, you know, three songs. I always sit in this chair. I like the way things are. Listen, I'm going to tell you something. That'll get you in trouble. First of all, if you like it too much, you'll miss what's happening in the spirit. And if you get too comfortable in your situation, you'll miss what God is doing. And so right now, I break off every limitation. Amen. I break off every expectation. I break off every law, every rule, every man-made system that has been put on you to act a certain way. I declare you are free by the blood of Jesus and the word of your testimony. You are free in Jesus, in Jesus' name. And I'm reminded of, you know, there's this thing called a heart. We all have one. And, you know, I grew up not religious, but I did go to a Catholic church just for a little bit because I was one of those holiday girls. You know, you go on the holiday. you pay Guido and you hope you make it to heaven. That was kind of my upbringing, which is really not that bad. It could have been worse, you know. And it didn't take a lot to deprogram. But let me just say, I know. I had some false belief systems along the way. I got programmed with false belief systems. And I remember when I started going to church because, not because I wanted to, but because my friend told me I needed to because I had kids, okay? Now, that's how messed up I was. And so I went because I had kids. They needed God. I didn't know them, but they needed God. And so, you know, I'm just telling you the truth. And so I went to this community church, and I liked the feel-good message. I liked, that inspirational message. And I liked the three songs. And I liked the pastor to entertain me and give me a week of food, which lasted not even a day. And but what happened was, because we are made in his image, somehow God bypasses all the junk and all the flesh. Thank you. And he connects with us by the Spirit. And I don't know how, and it's not the same for everybody, but there's something happened in my heart where I had a desire to worship him. Now, what does that look like? Well, it looks different for every person. And what would happen is, you know, when you're going to a seeker-sensitive church, you know, you have to be sensitive to the seekers. And we were all seekers because we're sensitive and... You know, you circle around and keep going back, and there's very little growth because there's little milk, you know, for the babies. And that's good. It's better than nothing because what happened was a seed started to grow. And thank you for the seeds that start to grow. Thank you for the seeker-friendly churches. And because we all have to start somewhere. Thank you for any kind of church if it knows Jesus Christ because not everybody's the same. And thank the Lord that we're not all the same. Think some of us are elbows, some of us are eyeballs. You know, we all work together as one in the body. And I know I'm taking that out of context, but listen, what happened to me was there was this tug of war going on in my heart, and I felt it tonight in here. And the tug of war is, and the Lord reminded me of this, of, you know, I want to worship you because I can feel it in my heart, a burning desire to know you. But yet I was raised by strict rules early on in childhood, you know, and you know, we didn't do stuff like that. We didn't raise our hand in church. That was weird. And so, but I would feel this desire to, like, want to just raise my hand, but I couldn't because you don't do that. And so I didn't. And I remember standing, and slowly I would want to rock a little because, you know, you start to feel the move of the Spirit and the music, but you don't do that because it's seeker-friendly and you don't want your neighbor to stumble. And so all this crazy stuff is going on. And so, you know, but inside my heart, I'm like, Lord, I want to know you. Lord, my desire is to know you. What is wrong with me? Because I knew that I was a mess. I'll be the first to tell you, I was a mess. Still am, getting better every day, only by his grace and by his teaching. And so this thing where, you know, I was so used to the way things should be, when anything started to change, I'd get uncomfortable. Has that ever happened to you? And so I liked things to be the way they were because they're predictable, but they're not good, and there was no fruit. And so, you know, I remember this one lady, she was the worship lady, and she'd sing the three songs, but every once in a while she'd, not during the Sunday, but on the Wednesday. Sunday was seeker friendly. Wednesday was for the deep meat eaters, which were still seeker friendly. But we were trying. We were trying to bust out and so of ourselves. And I remember on the Wednesday or whatever night it was, Thursday it could have been, I remember she'd do like a hallelujah in the song, and there was no hallelujah in that phrase. And I'd be like, she is not singing the song the way it is written. And I would get my legalistic notebook in my head and say, that's not the way it's done. And I would be like bothered by it. Every once in a while, she'd raise her hand. Well, why is she doing that? She should have her hands on that keyboard. I'm going somewhere with this. I'm making a point. Believe me, I really am. There's this thing in my heart, though, that's like, I want to know him. But yet my flesh is, that's not how God is. That's wrong. Religious spirit in a box. I was in a box, and don't mess with my box. And don't come near me, because I might box you, because the wall of defense, don't get too close. And so, but yet, Lord, I want to know you. Do you feel the difference? Yeah. The struggle of the heart versus the flesh and the mind and the thinking. Any of you ever have anything similar? Uh-huh. So, I got used to the occasional hallelujah, okay? Because that's just the way things were done on that night, Thursday night, Wednesday night, whatever it was. But I could feel there was something there. When that lady would worship, it wasn't just three songs. There was some spirit into it. And I was drawn to the Spirit, the Holy Spirit. And my heart was like linking in the spirit realm. Oh, I want to know you. And it was a burning desire to know him. But yet, my flesh would not allow it to happen. So there had to be this divine setup, because God is always about divine setup. And so I'm struggling, can't raise my hands, can't sway, wanting to, but not to say hallelujah. That's just too far out there. So, you know, I'm doing a little bit of rocking, a little bit back and forth in my song, and while we sing our three songs, and I can feel the draw of the Holy Spirit. You feel the draw of the Holy Spirit trying to help you break free. But yet the flesh and the way that you were raised keeps you bound. Ever happen? God, you got to help me. Lord, you got to set me free. I don't know what my problem is, but there's something wrong with me. I don't know what it is, but I know it's not right. Will you fix me? Will you help me? Will you do something? I don't even know how to set myself free, but I'm asking you to help me. The heart's cry, Lord, you got to help me. I'm a mess. I'm struggling with this, Lord. You got to help me. I'm a mess. I don't know what to do. I don't know how to pay this bill. I don't know about my kids. You got to help me, Lord. I'm a mess. When you ask him for help, he's obligated because he's your father. There's no one like him. He'll move a mountain to reach his child and pull them out of the miry clay because he loves us, because he's full of love. He's consuming. His love is consuming. And so I'm doing my three songs and you know, growing in the word and my desire. You know, I'm praying, I'm hearing, but yet I'm bound. It's like I can't raise my arms. I just couldn't. But my heart's desire was to get free. And I'll never forget this one. You know, God knows. He knows what you know, and he knows how to override the blocks in your life to set you free if you really have a desire to get set free. And I really had a desire to get set free, even though I didn't know what that was going to mean. Hallelujah. I was very shy, bound, broken, a hidden one. And I was at this conference sitting in the back. Get in late, leave early, you know, so they don't talk to you. And God set me up one day. I don't know if it was in day or night. I don't remember anymore, but it was at a conference in Kenosha. And I remember seeing an old friend across the conference room. And she locked eyes with me. And if you're shy, you don't never lock eyes with people. Never. That's like a rule. You know what I'm talking about, oh shy ones, who have been set free, and we laugh at it now. So what happened was I see an old friend, Juanita, that I used to serve in ministry with at the Seeker Friendly Church. And I'm like, oh my gosh, Mary, there's Juanita. And so I do the thing that you would never do if it was a stranger. I smiled. And that was the welcoming, hi, Juanita, you know, from across the room. It was like, well, Juanita starts to walk over towards me, and she gets about, oh, maybe to me, to you, Joe. And I'm elbowing Mary going, look at, Juanita's coming over. Mary's like, not even, she's kind of like not responding. And I'm excited because I haven't seen her in so long. And we, you know, we serve together and you lose contact with people over the years. And so God brings her to this conference, which I thought, how cool, she's at a Spirit-filled conference. Well, what happened was she got to right about here and she's smiling and I'm smiling. And then I realize it's not Juanita. And now I'm a deer in headlights. I can't run fast enough. And she extends her hand like this, Joe, grab my hand, and pulls me out of the seat like this, marches me over here, brings me down, and as she does, the chains of bondage break off me. And I didn't even know it was going to happen on that day. I had no clue. And why I'm saying that is because there's people in here who are struggling. You're bound. You want to worship. You've been bruised, hit, attacked, said bad things to, but you don't want to draw attention. But listen, you're not drawing attention. God's already got his attention on you. And so he's all about the divine setup. And my heart's desire was to get free. I wanted to worship him like the young kids. I wanted to be able to jump up and down, not because I wanted to be seen, but because I saw how they worshiped and I saw the connection and it was beautiful. And I knew me like this, you know, shy, bound, and locked up. But I'm telling you, when they marched me down that thing, down an aisle, hello, shy people don't want to be touched. They don't want to be marched, okay? And I'm telling you, at that moment, the chains busted off. I felt them leave me, okay? And I've never been the same. Never been the same. And what happened was, because I was so bound and pent up for my heart's desire, I couldn't stop worshiping him. It was like the stopper was released and there was a gushing amount of worship that could never be stopped up again. And that's what the enemy wants. He wants to keep us pushed down under a cap and so that we never ever express ourselves freely who God created us to be. And when you worship in spirit, what happens is, well, hello, there's a deep connection of oneness that takes place. And a lot of you know what I'm talking about, but some of you don't. And so we're going to go there tonight and discuss some of this. And so, you know, I just was so free. It was like the real me stood up for the very first time. And all the years and all the hits and the attacks of you know, to be shy, not seen, not heard, you know, gone in a minute. But it took many nights of, Lord, you got to set me free. Here I am again. Lord, what is my problem? And God knew how to override with trickery. I'm just being real. He's the inventor of trickery. But in a good way, not in the weird way where it ends up hurting us. It's always to benefit us. I can't tell you how many times he's tricked me into doing things. Ministering. I don't know how many years it's been, but he said 6 weeks. Would you do this for 6 weeks? Some of you guys remember that. And it was nothing about this. It was about wanting to minister. Lord, it's dry in this area. Would you bring somebody to help the kids? Could you bring someone spirit-filled to help the kids? I'm praying that for my kids. And the next thing you know, he says to me, well, will you do it for 6 weeks? Well, heck, I could do it for 6 weeks. By the grace of God, I will. I can't tell you how many years it's been. I don't even know. He had to correct me. He said, stop thinking. Now, this is probably a couple years ago. He said, I mean, I'm guessing. Let's see. 10 years?
It's been just over 10 because you guys started it right before I got married. 2009-ish was when we were meeting at your house.
Okay. 8 was the year of the disaster, which brought freedom and correction and direction. And yeah. Anything that wasn't of him tumbled, crumbled, blew away.
I remember the 6 weeks.
Yeah. 6 weeks. And so, you know, years go by, and I'm thinking, 6 weeks.
Yeah, and then I remember you saying, I think we gotta keep going.
Yeah. Yeah. But I kept looking at it as it's temporary, it's 6 weeks. So years go by, and he's like, listen, that was like 7 years ago. It's not 6 weeks. Will you realize? Because I don't pay attention to time, you know, I just don't care. I'm like, you're right. He's like, I want to position you. He had me do some things, you know, to bring some right order. It's not important. But listen, what happened is he tricked me. But when he tricked me, he provided a way. He's like, I want you to call this place. We got in a place that was so beautiful. Yeah. It was in Bristol in a condominium development. You have to be a member to rent the building. It was like a couple blocks from my house, but not in my area, you know, across the highway. Great favor. We paid $50 a week to rent that place. I mean, the favor of the Lord was all over it. It also, when it was time to go, the favor of the Lord lifted. I know we were there because we prayed for that place. We brought, his presence was there. People were convicted. People were set free. People were healed and delivered. A lot of us grew in ministry there. A lot of us were set into position. Families were restored. Wonderful stuff happened at that place. And I thought it was just temporary. But I'll tell you what, I remember we paid. Remember, they were in foreclosure because that was 2008 was when the crash hit. And so I remember our little $50 check was paying the landscapers to keep the grass mowed. And I did find out later that the owner was actually a Christian. And, you know, he connected us somehow at a service. I didn't even know who he was. He's like, my dad rented to you. I'm like, really? I mean, it's crazy how things happen. But what I'm saying is that was a setup. When it was time to go, the anointing lifted. I remember the road construction. Remember the bugs there, guys? The box elder bugs? I remember one time Holly's on the keyboard and there's a box elder bug coming down. she's on the keyboard and she's singing and she's trying to get that bug away. But we'd set the chairs up every week. We'd sweep the floor every week. You know, in the winter, we'd mop the floors. I mean, we took care of that place. If we didn't, it would have probably decayed, okay? And it was a beautiful building. It looked like a church. The acoustics were phenomenal in there. We'd have these late night. We called it, what do we call it, the after fire or the afterglow? The meeting after the meeting. You know, some people would come because it was like three songs to them and they'd go. But there were some that we'd hang out there for hours and just get rip-roaring, gone in the Holy Spirit. And great things happened in that place. You remember just wonderful things. Brother Daniel, you know, there's so many people that have come and gone who have been launched and you know, came for a rest. God called it the filling station back then. And you know, it was to fill the people that served. You remember, like, you know, the people that were serving. Dave, you remember that, you know, we'd church in a truck, and you serve the kids' church, and then you came on Wednesday night and got filled. And he poured out, you know, poured out. And we were just like in awe. We didn't even know, you know, really. And we still don't know when God does stuff. It's awesome. We don't, you know, take the credit. But I think back to those days. I wouldn't trade them for nothing. But what happened was there was a hunger. And where did the hunger come from? From him. He put it in, and he'd bring people, and people would come, go. If everybody came on the same night, we wouldn't be able to keep him in the place. It was amazing, the timing of it all. But it was a trick. I'm telling you, it was a trick set up by God, but what happened was it brought goodness. I can't tell you how many times God said for me to do something, and it's always been like a trick, like a back door to something, where a great blessing came that I didn't see. And you know, I love that about God. And I know some of you are starting to get lost on this, but I got to finish this because this is what he's saying. And so there's great things for people in here tonight. But some of us are still bound, and our heart's desire is to know him. Don't give up. Keep that cry of your heart. God, I got to know you. God, I got to know you. I'm hungry for your presence. I can't get enough of you. Or are you too full? Listen, we get full with the busyness of the day and the plans of man. It happens. We have to fight that stuff off. I battle that stuff all the time. All the time. You probably think, oh, no, I'm so spiritual. Listen, every day I got to battle distraction, just like all of us. But my heart's desire is, Lord, here I am again. I want to know you deeper. And there comes a place where you bust through. I call it to the other side, but it's to the real side. And there's this thing that happens in the spirit where it doesn't matter what you're doing, you know him. It doesn't matter where you're going, he's with you. And he's always is, but there's like the veil's torn. It's like there's, and it's like, you know, first is a switch. You come in, you come out. But then there's this place where you're in and you stay in. And it doesn't matter. He'll wake you up in the middle of the night because if he got too busy because he missed your hug. Has that happened to you? Where, you know, you're doing something, you're hanging out, and then you get too busy and 3 days goes by and you, and he's like, hey, shakes you in the middle of the night. I just want a hug from you. Have you ever hugged God? That's real. That's for all of us. He invented hugging. In the cool of the day, he walked with Adam and Eve. That's been restored. That's what his desire is. And so there's this battle of, well, I don't want to hug God because I can't see him. Listen, your spirit is yearning to hug him. He put that desire in you. Just like he put the desire to know him. He wants you to know him in such a way where it busts through whatever it is, the problems and the struggles of our flesh. Come back to that first love. Do you remember the day when it didn't matter? I see the recalibration going on in here right now. It didn't matter what was going on. You just had to be with him, and you just, there he is. That is for all of us, and it's easy to do. It's not some complex where you got to sit a certain way. Listen, we house the Holy Ghost. He lives and dwells inside of us. Heaven, right here. We carry the glory. Now, don't get caught up in the doctrinal stuff. If he's inside of you, he is, and you are. And there's this connection that he's yearning for where we bust through this religious, well, that's, how does that work? Listen, don't analyze it. You'll miss it. Don't get caught up in the hows and the twos and the don'ts. Just desire to know him, and he'll do the rest. That's all that's required is a desire to know him, and he'll do the rest. He knows what happened to you. He was there. And it hurt him as much as it hurt you. He's a feeling father. And he wants you to know how much he loves you. And for some of you, he misses you. Some of you get so caught up in the religious act of being a Christian. You wear the shirt, you do the thing. I can't believe we're saying this, but we are. And you know how to talk, and you know scriptures, but you don't know him. And it's not your fault. It's the enemy's fault. Because the enemy sowed seeds to cause discord where you don't trust God. And that's the enemy's job. But listen, God came in the cool of the day to spend time with his kids. And it's that's in Genesis, that's for us now. We've been redeemed from all the bad stuff. Some of you are carrying the bad stuff. Some of you are so religious in thinking that you're missing the simplicity of his goodness. And God is challenging me to challenge you to question where you're at right now in him. Now, if you asked me to repeat that, I couldn't. This is like I'm seeing it and I'm speaking it. But listen, he's challenging us. It's like a spiritual checkup. How are things? How's your heart? How's the love in your heart? Are you struggling with loving people? Those are external. You want to know how to fix it? Turn internal. When you start, I remember reading Song of Solomon, thinking that's weird. But knowing there's something there, couldn't see it because I was looking through the filters of the way I was raised. But I remember thinking, Lord, teach me what this means. Teach me how to love you. Because I asked, he did. And he continues. I couldn't love people. I was very selfish. It was all about self-pleasing, because that's the way the world is. But there's this thing of the inward love of the Father. Teach me how to love you. Teach me how to love. When you ask that, he will teach you. And how he does it is with him. It's much easier with him than it is with other people. So if you're struggling with loving people or judging people, turn in to the love of the Father. Get some scriptures. Perfect love, cast off fear. Are you struggling with fear? Turn to the Father. Perfect love, cast off fear. He's the one that will cast that off. And how that works is you get your gaze on him. There's no room for fear. And you listen, and you're led by the Spirit, and he'll tell you, listen, I gave you authority to trample over that darkness. I gave you, listen, it's just a spider. Step on it. Don't run from it. You're bigger. You got the Holy Ghost in you. See, there's tools and techniques in the Spirit that will manifest into the natural. It's backwards. See, from the inside out, from the inside out. And we're taught, we're raised from the outside only. It's backwards. The kingdom of God doesn't operate like that. We house the presence of the king. We house the kingdom of God. Now, yes, there is heaven. I'm not talking about that. But we are the house of God. We house him, so we are. And some of us need to learn how to connect in the Spirit. Right now, I pray for a connection. I see in the Spirit, I see these like boulders and walls of protection that we've built up to protect us from being hurt. But when we do that, it blocks the Father because he will not override free will. And so one of my prayers is, Lord, remove every hindrance, every block that prevents the love of the Father to flow through me and prevents the love of the Father to flow into me. I want to know you. Show me what lies I've believed and help me speak the truth in love, not judgment, in love. There's a difference. So this is a little tough for a couple of you, but I really feel like these are seeds that the Lord is watering that are already in you. You've been asking, I don't know how to deal with this. You've been asking, and we're not going to all worship the same. Hello. So I may raise my arm and worship him. You may tap your toe. It doesn't matter. What happens is it's in the Spirit, and there's a connection. And because, I'm going back here, because of the lies of the enemy, he's cutting the connection. He's cutting, 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 because he sows a lie. You remember, think of the fiery darts that come here in Ephesians. He sows the dart, and it blocks the blessing. It blocks the connection. And so if you're feeling that, you can tell, you know, can you tell when you're a little off? I like to call it the compass, the Holy Ghost compass. I can tell when I'm off. A cloudiness or you know, something not right. Holy Ghost, help. Oh, that's his job. Oh, don't you love that about him? He does it through us and for us, but we have to ask him. And some of us are taught, oh, don't, I can't ask. Oh, I'm too proud. I'm too shy. Listen, I want the whole kingdom. I want the whole package. I don't want anything to go waste. Jesus, whatever you provided, I want all of it. I want to do whatever you want me to do. I don't care. Teach me how to steward your presence. That's my prayer. Does that religious? What's that called? Stingy? Is it hoarding? No, it's the kingdom of God, because when he pours in, you pour out. Amen. You can't hold back what he's given because he gave it freely. I love that about him. And so there's a few people in here that are struggling. And I can always tell, because whenever he has me talk about getting free with the chains, I know, you know, I have preached this message before and it comes out different every time because it's different people. But I'm telling you, there's a few people in here whose desire is to be set free. I want to tell you the key. Ask him. And what you do is say, Lord, help me, set me free, show me what I need to say, cause something to come in my path that's from you to help me ask the questions that I need to ask if I'm missing it. Amen? Amen. 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 That's it. Was that 2 minutes or five? You guys crack me up. You all hungry for more. Always. Always. Yeah. I'm telling you, we are in a place in God where we're going to look back and be amazed. The revelation that's opening up right now for those who are seeking, they're finding. and it's not hard. It's effortless. It's show up and you get. That's how good. And it's always like that, but there's like the thinness in the spirit is it's like parchment paper. There's no struggle to go in. If you want more of God, all you got to do is say, Lord, I want it all. And he'll give it all to you. But he'll give it to you in a measure that you can handle. And he knows that measurement. We don't. So, Father, I thank you. And right now, I ask for everything you have. I pray right now for every person in here and every person who listens to this message that our heart's desire is to know you in such a way that we're unshaken. We are unmoved over anything, any storm, any wind, any doctrine, that we will know the truth and the truth will set us free. We will be bold in you. We will be single-focused for your goodness and your kingdom, not our deal, your deal, Lord. I pray for anybody who has a spirit of selfishness or give it to me, pride. I pray for that to be broke right now in the name of Jesus. I pray for the revelation of the truth of Jesus Christ to manifest in us in such a way where we're undone for his goodness. We're undone for his pleasure. We're undone. And when that happens, the blessings just stack up. And then we freely give because he's always giving. I pray for a boldness to come across, to come into us or to come out of us for worshiping you, Father. Because when we worship in spirit and truth, no force, no devil can stop it. And so right now I command every blockage in the spirit to be removed, every lie, every false hope, every frustration to be gone in the name of Jesus. I release you into the fullness of God in Jesus' name. Amen. Hallelujah. Yes? 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 Yeah.
And my tendency is to blame myself for what did I do? Why did I disconnect from God? What do you tell me to do?
Okay. That's a common thing. And first of all, most of the time, I can tell you from my experience, when I'm off, it's usually witchcraft. It's usually somebody that spoke some junk and... voice in the spirit, you know, license of the tongue carries, you know, either blessings or curses. And so the first thing I do when I recognize that I'm off, as I say, I break every word curse that's been spoke against me. I put it under the blood of Jesus. The other thing I do is no weapon formed against me will prosper. Every tongue that rises against me, I hereby condemn. This is the heritage of the saints. I'm sanctified by Jesus Christ under the blood. Go in the name of Jesus. And usually that'll fix it. If it doesn't, then I'm like, okay, was I in the Word? What have I been focusing on? And if I'm, you know, in the Word and just doing my normal stuff, okay, I might have to battle a little more. But if it's, I never blame myself. I don't think, because if I go down that path, it takes me down the way down path, the way no path. Like, because condemnation is actually a spirit. And so I would bind that spirit, if it is a spirit, and even if you're not sure, I'd bind it anyway, because if it is, it's gone, because we have authority. And so, you know, if I feel like, you know, I used to get attacked a lot, can I say this? You know, I'd hear like, you stunk tonight, you know, they didn't get anything out of that message, or why do you even bother, you know, stuff like that. I had to beat that devil. That was a devil. That was a foul spirit. And, you know, I don't live for praise of man. I live for the Father. And you know, he'll tell me if I messed up. And I've been corrected. You know, there's things I've said that I should not have said. And I repent when that happens. And I'm fresh and clean under the blood. Doesn't matter. So if I mess up, I repent and say, here I am again, Lord. I screwed up, but you know that. You know me. And it's okay. But if it's something that is biting at me or, you know, I think everybody kind of has had to deal with that at one point or another is, well, you didn't do this well enough, or, you know, to me, that's not of God. It never is of God. God's always, that's my girl, that's my boy, you know. Very rarely does he say, excuse me. And he has done that, but that's not in condemnation. It's more correction, and I need it. Do you know the difference that I'm talking about? Yeah, yeah. Do you know the difference of correction? It feels so good. It hurts so good. You know, it's a little discipline. You know, maybe, well, I'm not even going to go there tonight, but I could. You know, like, maybe he said, don't eat that ice cream cone and you add one anyway. You know, that did not happen, by the way. No. These guys saw me eating an ice cream earlier. You know, I didn't ask him. But if he would have said, don't eat that ice cream, and I did buy the cone anyway, you know, I know he's not going to, you know, withhold his blessing, but I know him. You know, we're in oneness, and I know that it isn't pleasing when I rebel, you know, I rebel on purpose. And so, you know, that's an issue I have to work out. And do I win all the time? No. Sometimes the flesh wins, but I always end up repenting and coming back. And I've learned, and this isn't a license to sin or rebel, but I've learned not to let the enemy beat me up. And I say, you know, God, you got to help me with this. I still struggle in this area. Or, Lord, I don't know why I said that. Will you help me? I've learned we all make mistakes, and this is the key. We've all make mistakes, and I don't dwell on them. I blew it. Here I am again, Lord. Here I am again. And because the enemy's the one that dwells. Now, I do later, after it's all over, not right away, but later I go, you know, could you help me? I don't want to do this anymore. You ever have a sin nature that you've struggled with? You know, it could be addiction. Nobody wants to be addicted to anything, but yet here I am again. I'm struggling in this area, you know, and maybe you blow it. Maybe you even hear the Holy Spirit say, you know, don't watch that, don't drink that, don't take that, but you do it anyway because the spirit of addiction or maybe the habit of it is strong and it drives you. But then after you maybe do the hit or whatever, you go, Lord, I don't want to do this anymore. Will you help me? He knows your heart is good, and he knows you don't want to do it. And so later on, I'll say, Lord, will you help me overcome this? Could you give me a scripture to stand on so I can wield the sword against temptation or whatever? And that has really helped. I mean, I can't tell you how many things I've been set free from. You guys know my past, where his word is more powerful than anything. It holds the whole world together. So if you feel like you've blown it, you probably haven't. It's probably a foul spirit or witchcraft. Does that help you? And then I take it right away. If I'm feeling, oh, I wake up, listen, I can't tell you how many times I wake up and think, I don't want to get up today, you know, or weird stuff. Those are weird thoughts from the enemy. I don't have this, but, oh, it's going to be a bad day. Well, it's a good day. Every day is a good day in Jesus Christ. I would say that if I had that issue. I don't have that. But, you know, there's some days I don't feel like coming to minister. I'm tired. I don't want to. Lord, will you give me the grace to do this? Will you give me your grace? He always does, and it's always whatever he wants. And so to win the race, you call on his grace. That's the title. Amen?
We hope you enjoyed today's message by Laurie Scanlon. You can download more messages from our store at www.spiritofgodworldwide.com.